It is game day, Saskatchewan. Jamie Nye, Daryl Davis, Belton Johnson with you, taking all the way to a 7 o'clock kickoff as the 5-1 Saskatchewan Rough Riders, with a victory, will be alone at the top of the West Division as they face the 1-4 Edmonton Elks tonight. Of course, the Elks have been struggling. And the big story of the week for this game happened yesterday when the depth chart was made official, Daryl. Cody Fajardo gets a long-awaited start in Saskatchewan against the Rough Riders. First time since he left in 2022.
Yeah, people are already saying they need a video tribute. Well, they gave him a video tribute. When
already
he showed,
did it. He doesn't get one.
When he showed up as a backup for Montreal, right? So he has played here, or he's been here, but he hasn't played here other than short yardages or a couple of plays here and there. So the start, you could tell that they were probably going to make that change all week, Jamie, that Trey Ford wasn't with the ones all the time at practice for the Edmonton Elks. So they're probably trying to hide it a little bit because the extra hype that goes into it is probably a little bit distracting for Cody Fajardo. And it also makes the Saskatchewan Roughriders prepare for two different types of quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
They, no matter what they're thinking, they're different guys. Trey Ford's one of the fastest quarterbacks in the league. He runs around, even though the Elks don't let him run, which is a real tragedy. And Cody Fajardo's more of a dropback guy who can run if he has to. So it's different styles. They had to do something. The Elks are a bad team. They're bad in every facet. Felt sorry listening to J.C. Sherritt. They're buffaloed a little bit. They don't know what's wrong with this football team. It's a whole new organization up there, and they've got to dig themselves out of a big hole.
Meanwhile, of course, the Riders coming off that 33-27 win over the B.C. Lions as Trevor Harris, for a CFL record ninth consecutive game, threw for over 70% completion percentage. He'll go for 10 straight tonight.
Weird stat, by the way. I guess
I'm surprised with the amount of efficiency quarterbacks have had over the last 20 years of 70% completion that it hasn't happened before. Like Dickinson was, he seemed to always be at 70% completion percentage, but
doesn't
not
Dave
for
Dickinson,
nine straight.
Yeah. I think Dave Dickinson has, or had when he retired, the highest completion rate of all quarterbacks.
Do you know who the highest completion percentage?
I think it's Trevor Harris now, isn't it?
And
who would be Cody Fajardo?
Cardo Fajardo.
The top two tonight, so going at it head-to-head. The short passing game has really become the norm in the Canadian Football League. The run-pass option and short passes off that. So the completion rates are going up. But you know what won for the Rough Riders last week, Jamie, against the BC Lions, was the fact that they didn't just throw short. They threw deep. Dante Myers had a great game. They threw four passes of over 30 yards and like six, I think, or eight over 20 yards. That's good. The Rough Riders needed to diversify that offense, and we know that Trevor Harris is accurate at short distances. He can also throw pretty well at long distances.
So, as we get you set, let's hear from Cody Fajardo. We talked to our Britton Gray about his return and his start in Saskatchewan.
Sask has a soft spot in my heart. My son was born here as the first team to, you know, give me my franchise start, my first opportunity. So I'll always have a soft spot in my heart, but that doesn't mean I'm not going to try any harder. You know, every game, it doesn't matter who's lining up across from us, I'm going to try as hard as we can to win the football game.
I was wondering if the fact that it's been a few years now that there's maybe not as much animosity or anything towards the club.
No, there's been a lot of change with them as well, right? And so it's just different team, different club since I've been here. I think what helps too is going off to Montreal, having success there, winning a cup. You know, I was able to do some things that I wish I was able to do here for this fan base who deserves a great cup, just how rabid they are and how excited they are about football. But overall, you know, if it, like I said, if it was, you know, and I was in a time machine, it was first year out of Sask, it might have meant a little bit more. But anytime you take the field, you want to represent the name on the front and the name on the back of your jersey. And so I want to do everything I can to help this team try and win a football game.
What do you expect from the fan base and the reception when you take the field?
That'd be a good question. Last time they did a pretty cool tribute for me when I was here with Montreal. So that, you know, obviously was warming for me. But there'll be some Fajardo jersey, I think, in the stands. And I think there'll be some people wearing Fajardo jerseys that will be booing me, which will be pretty interesting. But it's always a great atmosphere. And I've been on the winning side of it. And I've been in in that green. Now I'm in a different green now. And so I just have a lot of good memories in that stadium. And there's a lot of nostalgia just being here, and a lot of things that my family was a part of. And like I said, my son being here. So just excited for the opportunity to play some football with these guys.
Cody Fajardo will start at quarterback for the Edmonton Elks. They were in Corey Mace's press conference yesterday. They were asking him about that dynamic. And Corey Mace like, I don't know Cody that well. I've never worked with him. I don't know the history. I wasn't here when he was here. So I asked Corey Mace, would you like the fans to treat Cody the similar to your former quarterback, Henry Burris?
Yeah, no, see, I can speak to that. I was there for those. Yeah. Please, you know, bring your Christmas hats, you know, be the Grinch, you know, let's do that. Yeah, we want as much noise as possible, man. You know, I'm hearing a little bit of rumblings. It's the crowd's going to be pretty nice out there. Yeah, let's have some fun.
Fans, give it to Henry.
It was pretty entertaining, you know, just knowing it wasn't me, but just I was like, dang, Hank, like, what the hell did you do? But, you know, I'll say, maybe it drove him, and for us as teammates, you know, we just knew what it was. It was gonna be a hellacious game to come in here and play games, knowing that they were gonna be a little more motivated. So, I'm all about that. Let's do that.
So, Daryl, what do you think? You we were both around in the Henry days. Do you think it'll match?
No, it never will. But Burris brought it on. He loved that stuff, right? He taught them. It was like John Cornish and the fans here, too. So Henry Burris would love to have that, and it motivated him. And there was some deep-rooted love and some dissatisfaction with Henry Burris. Not so much, I don't think, with Cody Fajardo, right? He was basically discarded and thrown to Montreal. And so you can't really get mad at him. There's not the bitterness of him leaving because of a contract dispute. That's such an old story, the Henry Burris, why he left, because Nealon Green, and you know, we know all the parameters, all the dynamics that went with it. It's so different. But Cody Fajardo, he's always got that little, you know, there was even a little bit of a dig in there when he was talking to Britton Gray, right? That, you know, if it had been before I won the Grey Cup, or since I haven't won the Grey Cup.
Oh, he wanted to make sure he threw that one in there.
Of course, and good for him. That was a career year for him and a career game in the Grey Cup. So give Cody Fajardo all the credit.
And if Craig Dickinson was still the head coach here, it would mean something.
Yeah,
because that breakup was ugly.
Yes. Well,
between
yeah.
the head coach and Cody Fajardo.
Yeah, the way they did it, and all of a sudden they decide Mason Fine is going to be the quarterback ahead of Cody Fajardo, made no sense at all the way they did it, the vet day off and all that stuff. It was really goofy, wasn't it, the way that happened?
Day.
Yeah. So Cody Fajardo coming back here, good for him. He's got some life left to play. I think he'll be a better starter than Trey Ford was for the Elks. The Elks have really struggled offensively. They haven't let Trey Ford do what he does best and just let him run like wild out there. They seem to try to make him a bit more of a passer, and he can pass if he's running, and he finds some open receivers when he's running. So put that into your offense. It just doesn't seem like it's very well designed for a running quarterback. Maybe it's better designed for a guy like Cody Fajardo who can run. That doesn't mean he can't run the football.
Yeah.
He's got that one spin move that you have to watch for, and everybody knows that turn back move of his. So the Rough Riders will have to be ready for that.
Cody Fajardo gets the start against the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, replacing Trey Ford after their bye week, the 1-4 Elks against the 5-1 Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Another quick storyline of this game is, again, a shift along the offensive line. This one completely unexpected. Zach Fry, starting left guard for the Riders, in a motor vehicle collision earlier this week. He is out with a head injury. Tried to practice, but Corey Mace, as he said yesterday, once he tried to go, that's when the symptoms really started to hit him. So they are going to play it safe on that front. So Noah Zaire, the Saskatchewan product, will start at left guard for the Riders.
Would have been cut at training camp, right?
He got cut at training camp. Brought him back a week or two later after some other injuries went down.
So they're really I'm not saying they're scraping the bottom of the barrel. They're reaching to find guys. They've done an amazing job, and all good wishes to Zaire to see if he can deal with it. But this is way beyond the realm of reality when you start thinking how many different offensive linemen they've had to bring in, have patched together, and have done a pretty good job. It has a lot to do with Trevor Harris's ability to find receivers quickly and throw the football well. OJ Ouellette's running the football pretty well, too. So the offensive line, they're well coached. We always have to say that, too. And they do have good personnel along that line. But how many players do you have to go through and just still to be manageable, still to have a decent performance as an offensive line.
Jamie and Daryl with you right now. Belton Johnson on his way in for the Green Zone, a pregame show. More coming up. We'll hear from the brother of the bench quarterback of the Edmonton Elks. The new defensive back out of the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, Terrell Ford, was able to chat with him. Logan Ferland on another shift along the offensive line. CJ Revis on facing an old friend, Cody Fajardo. Of course, more from Corey Mace from the coach's chair. Tri-tip, Daryl. Tri-tip was the hint Belton Johnson gave for our tailgating tip with Sherwood Co-op earlier this week.
Oh, boy. Burnt tips.
I'm still trying to figure out what's coming from Belton Johnson and who's going to eat and his tailgating tip as we continue here on the Green Zone pregame show. But directly ahead, Britton Gray's all or nothing on those no-name press releases in the offseason that become big-name players in the Canadian Football League. That's next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to the Green Zone pregame show. Jamie Nye, Daryl Davis, and Belton Johnson with you. Getting you set for the Riders and the Elks tonight. Of course, the Elks 1-4. The Riders 5-1 with the 7 o'clock kickoff. A reminder, Pure Later Tackle Hunger Night tonight. If you're just heading out the door, don't. Cash donation works too, but throw in some non-perishable food items for the tackle. Go get your picture taken with the Grey Cup. And it's also the Christmas in July game. We're all not quite sure what that means. But we're going to find out between 7 and 10 o'clock tonight during the Riders and the Elks. Each and every week, Britton Gray gives you another episode of All or Nothing. This week, he looks at those young superstars who come out of nowhere to make a big impact, and a few of those are helping that Riders offense.
Sometimes it's the players who sign without a lot of fanfare who can become some of the CFL's brightest stars. Years ago, Weston Dressler was signed by the Riders as a relatively unknown commodity. He then went on to have a Hall of Fame career. And while Keyshawn Johnson and Dante Meyer still have a long way to go to reach those heights, they have started their climbs. Johnson was signed late November ahead of 2024 training camp. He's now fifth in the CFL in receiving yards.
Harris gets it away. End zone shot. Hauled in. Keyshawn Johnson.
Riders receivers coach Marquay McDaniel says when it comes to Johnson, his resume spoke for itself.
He broke all Dante Adams' record at Fresno, right? So I saw that coming in. Had good NFL film too.
Meanwhile, Myers was one of four receivers on a media release in December. Not only is he the only one left on the team from that release, he is sixth in the CFL in receiving yards and fifth in touchdown receptions.
Down the field, drops it in, 5, end zone, touchdown Riders! An early strike to Dante Meyers!
Harris pump fake, now a shot down the sideline, touchdown Riders!
Drops it in there for Meyers, his second!
Daniel admits Meyers' speed has been a surprise to him.
He had good college film, but I didn't know he had as much juice as he did. I saw the quickness. But when you get a receiver that is quick and fast, that's dangerous, especially up here.
If there is one person who knows what it takes to adjust quickly to the CFL game, it is McDaniel. He came to the league in 2009 and was the Hamilton Tigercats' most outstanding rookie.
I was always a slot guy, so to me it kind of came natural. I know Keyshawn and Dante were more outside guys in college. The slot's a little different game. I think Dante did a little bit, but it's just a different game up here. If you're a slot receiver, you kind of see the pitchers better. But when you go from outside to inside, the pitchers change. And like I said, the game is slowing down for those guys.
So for Johnson, what was it he wanted to improve this offseason?
Get more chemistry with Trevor, being better at the waggle. And just knowing defense is more up here with the extra person on the field. That's something I put work into in the offseason.
For Myers, one of his main focuses was staying healthy.
Adapting myself to the game. The States game and the CFL game is totally different games from an athlete standpoint. So just trying to get comfortable, play fast and less thinking, that's kind of more sort of focus.
McDaniel says one of the biggest things that is helping them reach this point is finally getting those reps.
Every guy is different, right? You might know what you're doing, but to actually find those holes, to see how the defenses are dropping. Different teams do different things, or it might be the same defense, but they drop different ways. So just getting an understanding of that, you can see, like I said, the more reps you get, the more understanding you get of it, and you can see those guys are definitely taking their games to that next level.
And you know head coach Corey Mace is glad to see them develop.
I think for them being able to embrace this game, you know, fall into what it is that we're trying to establish here. You know, they were part of the first year of that, and they know the standards, and they take it, they take that, and they run with it, man. Like I said, it's we can talk all day about what they do with the ball in their hands. I would urge people to watch what they do when they don't, what they do for their teammates. So incredible players. And they get what they deserve.
So with the CFL negotiation list now public, you never know whose name on there now could eventually become the next CFL star. For the Green Zone, I'm Britton Gray.
Another great feature and all or nothing from Green Zone Rider reporter Britton Gray as we continue on the pregame show, getting you set for the Edmonton Elks, Saskatchewan Roughriders. 7 o'clock is the kickoff on TSN. Coming up next, we'll go behind enemy lines. Terrell Ford made a life decision to join his brother in Edmonton. We'll talk about that experience and now watching his brother Trey go through some difficult times at quarterback for Edmonton. Behind Enemy Lines is next on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Welcome back to the Green Zone pregame show. Jamie Nye, Darrell Davis, Belton Johnson with you. As just as Lisa signed off, a few severe thunderstorm warnings just came into effect in the southwest portion of the province. There are no severe thunderstorm watches for the Regina area. If you're wondering about the game tonight, there's all the watches are either in the southeast portion of the province or up more central west portions of the province. Nothing for Regina in that front, but southeast province, Stoughton area, severe thunderstorm warning just popped up there. As for air quality, we're good.
No smoke.
We're good, Darrell.
All right.
Only 2 hours for the pregame show. Not what did I was?
You were on
hours?
Air for seven last home game, Jamie. That was tough on you. But they still don't have a policy. I heard you and Locker joking about it in the Green Zone before. And how can they not have a policy? It's
a great question.
It's essential to get a policy in place. And we talked about it. We know that the governors all take their time and they all have to decide. This is the type of thing that they could turn over to the Players Association and Commissioner Stuart Johnson and just say, hammer something out right now and we'll pass it because we need to have something in place. Fortunately, tonight, it looks like we're not going to have to deal with it.
Yeah, it's a hot one out there, but a great night for football for the Riders and the Elks. Each and every week, we flip things over and take a peek at the opponents as we go behind enemy lines.
Peeking over the sidelines and sneaking into enemy territory.
Our man is behind enemy lines.
This is Behind Enemy Lines.
This week, I was able to chat with the new defensive back of the Edmonton Elks. Just so happens to be the twin brother of the quarterback, Trey Ford, who has now ceded the starting job to Cody Fajardo. Yes, talking to star defensive back coming over from the Bombers to the Elks this offseason, Terrell Ford, and begun the conversation with his thoughts on a struggling defense so far.
I mean, it's been obviously a little difficult. I just feel like we kind of have all the pieces that we need, I think. We just got to start playing together, play as a team, and play three-phase football. I find a lot of times we're beating ourselves and we're undisciplined. So, I mean, we got to play like a pro football team again, play three phases, and I think the games and stuff will start being better.
It sounds like it's been a pretty competitive week throughout Elks practices. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, we definitely had our best week of practice. And when I say that, I always talk about the defense because obviously I play defense. So offensively, I don't know, you know, how they evaluate their week of practice. But as a defense, we've definitely had our best practice, probably the most interceptions we've had. So we need that to translate to the game because we have one interception from a defensive lineman. So,
Terrell, Rider fans will not want to hear that. That is not news they want to hear, but I know you don't care about that. So after the bye week, you get back at it, more competitive. Did it feel different? Like, is there a different energy this week? Like, enough with the negative, let's bring in the positive?
Yeah, I would say for sure. I think the week off helped us. Everybody kind of came back. We kind of like reset our heads, and yeah, we were playing with a little bit more energy. There's kind of like a new little spark on the team, so I'm excited to see how it kind of translates to the game.
Anything, you know, tactically different, or is it the same system? And it's really like for the what the Edmonton Elks have done, like yourself and JC Sherritt's new there, and there's so much new personnel trying to get to know each other. How hard has that been to, with the communication and switches and everything else with a bunch of new guys you've never played with? Like, how challenging has that part of the game been?
I mean, I feel like it's really that part's not too bad because at the end of the day, it's just football and there's only so much you can do. Everywhere you go, everything's kind of similar, especially for like a defense. You might have some different terminology, so I don't think that's really too much of an issue. But maybe it's because we are like in the Edmonton Stadium. They had the little weekend concert, so we practiced at a different field. So maybe that kind of is what sparked us. We were practicing on a different field, some brand new turf, so it was nice.
So how much different is JC's system from what you were experiencing with like Jordan Younger / Richie Hall?
I think, yeah, when we came from when I came from Winnipeg, it was more of a our stuff was, I guess it kind of looked complex, but we kind of really played one play pretty much the whole season. So it was kind of simple. You knew what to do in every situation. Where I'd say we got a little bit more going on the defensive side of the ball. But again, it's nothing like too complicated, and we've kind of been shuffling guys around. So it's been, I guess, a little bit inconsistent, with the exception of me and Kobe, because we played beside each other every game. Like boundary side, Sam, safety, we've all kind of been, you know, jumping around and just trying to kind of fit into our shoes and be ready to play the ball.
Does it kind of feel like that? Like just trying to find that right recipe until it really kicks in?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, but just like with injuries and just, you know, football stuff happens. So, you know, it's definitely been, I guess, tough. Everybody moving around, and I felt like when I was in Winnipeg, we were pretty consistent. I think we started the same DBs almost the whole entire season, so at the same spot. So when you're having new people work together and stuff for the first, you know, playing beside each other for the first time ever, you know, there's definitely going to be some learning curves, some miscommunication. So
Terrell Ford, defensive back, Edmonton Elks, ahead of a kickoff against the Rough Riders. Now that you're on the same team as Trey, is it a blessing you're there? Like, I imagine he can lean on you a little bit through some early season struggles.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, obviously we're on the same team, but I mean, he's obviously offense, I'm defense. So we don't really, I would say, hang out too much like at the facility because we're always split up. But it's nice that when we get home and we're away from football that we can, you know, see each other, talk to each other instead of just over the phone. And then I also get to be around my two nieces, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah, I can imagine that's awesome too for them. Uncles are the greatest, Terrell. So when you're dealing with that aspect of it, how special is that? Like to be able to sit around a dinner table, like, does it feel different for you too this year? Like, oh man, because I imagine you guys FaceTimed and stuff when you're in Winnipeg and Edmonton over your career, but how nice is it that you can sit at the dinner table and talk ball and kind of vent a little bit if necessary in the room together?
Yeah, it kind of, a lot of people use the word special, but I use like normal because that's how kind of how I grew up my whole life, right? We've always been together, same university, we were roommates, and so we kind of spent a lot of time together our whole life. So it kind of, for me, it just feels normal again. It was weird when you have to FaceTime them and you see them twice out of the 6 months you guys are apart and stuff. So it's just been normal for me.
Has it been hard for you as a brother to watch what's going on this week and this season for him?
Honestly, the part that I feel bad about is, like, I just know defensively we're not helping him out. Like, we are on the field forever. We don't have a lot of turnovers. We're really bad on second down right now. So it's going to be hard for, you know, anybody to go out there and have a super crazy offense when your defense can't get off the field. We can't really stop anybody. But like I said, we had a good week of practice. So I'm excited. It seems like you're starting to transition and turnover. So we'll have to wait and see game day.
I know you're busy with football, but I know if my brothers were around, they live in different parts. There'd be a few nights I'd be like, okay, we're going on a date night. The uncle's babysitting. Has Trey done that yet? Has he hooked you in?
No, not really. Not really. He kind of knows. I'm not, I love my nieces. I'm not a solo guy. I'm the fun guy. I can come, I'll have some fun, but you can't leave the two babies with me and then leave the house because I'm not ready.
No diapers for Terrell? No.
I think I'm staying maybe two or three diapers. I'm not a diaper changer.
Terrell, thanks for the chat this evening, and have some fun on Friday at Mosaic Stadium.
Perfect. Thank you. I appreciate it.
There is Terrell Ford. I imagine he's been around the kitchen table playing counselor this week with Trey and the conversations they would have been having.
Well, it might go both ways. So, Jamie, the defense is no great shakes either, but Trey Ford did lose his starting
spot. And that's what Terrell said. And he said, hey, whoa. I feel bad because we can't get off the field.
Mm-hmm. Yep. They've been struggling both ways. And their special teams, we're expecting more from special teams, too. They haven't done much on any of the three teams for the Edmonton Elks. It's a rough year, but at least you get to be an uncle.
Yeah,
that's fun. It's like being a grandpa, right? How often do you change diapers? Well, yeah, have to on occasion.
Terrell clearly sounding. I was joking before with the I pressed record. I was joking with so bye week, little relaxing for you. He's like, not really. I bought a new house and we're moving this. We moved over the bye week, so it's been. I'm like, so no break at all then for. Like, so get away from football? No, I would have rather been playing football, he said.
When you move, man, it is, I moved a couple years ago. It takes forever. It's way more work than you ever imagined.
There's a sneak peek at the Fords as Cody Fajardo, Belton Johnson getting the start. How many Cody chants do we hear tonight?
That's all we're going to hear tonight, aren't we?
I'll tell you what, this is going to be a bold prediction question a little later on. Will it be Henry-esque?
No.
Or a little,
I don't think it'll be Henry-esque. No,
nothing will reach that level. Because Burris loved that stuff. But Fajardo's not really into that stuff.
But the fans, though, there.
But Cody's been gone a long time.
Coach told them to. You got to listen to Corey.
I know. Locker will be yelling and wearing his Christmas hat. So.
Well, I'm thinking, I heard Coach Mace, he wants that, right?
Yep.
I think Rider Nation going to deliver tonight there.
They think they do whatever Corey Mace tells them? The players do. The fans may as well, too, right?
Well, I'm telling you. What? They're going to be all over them.
Belton, are you going to be in the stands doing Cody chants?
I might be there, Jamie. I might be there. Do they sell corn dogs in the... No, they don't sell the corn.
No,
though,
just that exhibition. That's not exhibition week yet. So.
Coming up next, we'll go inside the green and white. CJ Revis is excited to go up against his former teammate, Cody Fajardo. You'll hear him next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to the Green Zone pregame show. The 5-1 Riders are looking for top spot in the division and the league with a win tonight over the Edmonton Elks, who are at 1-4. As we go inside the green and white, talk to one member of the defense, one member of the offense. First off, CJ Revis asked him what it's like to finally face Cody Fajardo.
I'm excited to play against Cody, man. It's a teammate of mine for my first year here, so great guy. I'm excited to get a chance to battle against him.
Well, what do you reflect on from that year? Because it ended real bad with the team and Cody and some hard feelings. Yeah. How do you reflect on that?
I mean, I think Cody was a great guy. I think he's a good quarterback as well. I think, he went and won after this. So I think that's a testament to him and his faith and his ability and his work ethic as well. So I think he's a good guy for sure.
But you got a book on him a little bit, practicing against him, Rowe, of course. So how much will that help in the game plan this week?
I think it'll help a little bit. But, obviously, I hope he isn't the same player from 3 years ago. But, if he is, good for us. If not, we've got to just go and make some adjustments in the mid-game.
How much of an adjustment do you make with Cody or Trey? Mm-hmm. Trey is faster, but they're both mobile.
Both mobile, for sure. But I think Cody can throw the ball a little bit more. So I think that'll give us a chance to get the ball.
So the way Cody comes out, do you have that
like that little spin out. Like you have that book on him and go, okay, we need to watch out for this.
Yeah, definitely. You know, got to hone in on the tendencies and just be good, good gap sound defense for sure.
Overall, for the Rough Riders, how good did it feel to have that bounce back last week and gain a little bit of momentum with two left before your next bye week?
For sure. It felt great. You know, last year, well, since I've been here, we haven't bounced back after a loss well. So I think that's testament to Coach Mace and how he's coached us and how he's got us ready to play, you know. And to our guys, you know, our leaders on our team, guys like Thurm, Roe, Millie, myself, Trevor, you know, just making sure that we stay locked in.
As the Sam, sometimes you can have, like, outside contain, those types of things. Mm-hmm. How much does, like, the Justin Rankin MOBA quarterback really test what you have to do with your assignment?
For sure. I think it's a game for me to shine. You know, I think this is what I'm here for. This is what I work for, you know, a game like this. So I think it would be a good matchup.
How much should people need to know a little bit more about Justin Rankin? On film, he looks like an incredible back.
I think he's a great back. You know, I think he's one of the best backs in the league for sure, especially from last year. I think he's improved for sure since last year, definitely, with his footwork and his ability to jump cut in the hole. I think it would be a good matchup. I like playing against good backs.
Rose says he's a quieter guy, so he doesn't expect much to be said to Cody. What about you? Are you a quieter guy, or will he hear from CJ Reavis?
I'm not a quiet guy at all. Miss you, Cody.
So he's going to hear a little bit.
For sure. Yeah. Definitely. Welcome home.
All love?
All love, for sure. But he's going to hear me, for sure.
That is CJ Reavis. So he's going to hear me for sure. We'll see how that goes for Cody Fajardo tonight. Yeah.
Some guys are loud, and some guys don't say a boo during the game.
That's true.
Well, I talked to Roland Milligan this week, too, about it, and he's like, nah, I barely say anything all game long unless it's to my teammate on strategy stuff, but yeah. I talk with my actions more than anything.
Reavis is a chatterer. You can hear him out there.
Yeah. So
near the sidelines.
Let's flip the ball over to the offensive side as Logan Ferland speaks to facing a struggling Edmonton Elks team.
Yeah, the numbers might show that they're struggling, but you watch the film and they play hard and they play together. You know, we're expecting that exact kind of play, and we're not underestimating them. You can never underestimate a team in the CFL, regardless of what their record is. People want to base a lot of things on their record and on their numbers, but you watch that film, and, man, they got some players on that defense, so we have to be ready for it. And like you said, coming off a bye, got to be ready for any possible changes they might have brought up.
Like, recent history would tell you that. They came in here last year, and so how much is – Roe just said that shouldn't be a learning lesson. You should know that anyways, but – it's a pretty stark reminder, isn't it, Logan?
It is, yeah. And we need to be, again, it's about us, not about them. It's about us, about playing together, and not taking anyone lightly.
Okay, Noah Zaire, another new guy next to you, once again. What have you seen from him in his, of course, comes to camp, release, comes back, and now pressed into action on a quick turnaround?
Yeah, Noah's always ready for that position if he needs to be put in it, and we got a lot of confidence in his ability, and we're ready to go with him. Like I said, plug and play with any O-lineman that we need in.
When did you find out? Like, was it during practice yesterday that it was like, okay, Noah's in and no Zach?
Yeah, we were ready for it, prepared for it during the week, but it was later in the week when we found out.
How complicated is that? Because Zach was there on walkthrough going through the reps, and Noah only gets really one practice.
Yeah, again, it doesn't change very much. The guys do a very good job of putting themselves in the right position, even when they're not in. So even when we're practicing with Fry in there, Noah's still behind getting the reps in mentally and physically, even mirroring reps. So I'm not worried about that at all. You know, we have great chemistry regardless of who's put in. We've seen that and proven it.
Yeah, we've said it on the show. Should we stop being concerned about who's in on the offensive line?
Hey, never doubt us. That's what I'll say. This is a group that always puts it together, and even when we don't play well, like we saw in that Calgary game, we're going to come back, you know, a lot stronger and not put that kind of stuff on film.
Right, Belton? No reason to worry about this O-line anymore, right?
I'm not worried. You were? They make running lanes. They protect the quarterback. Did you see the game last week?
Yeah.
How do you get that much time to throw the ball? I mean, that's how Trevor Harris got the ball off. And
with a tackle who was brand new.
Right. And they're okay, fellas.
Three left tackles with three left guards now, too, right? Yep.
I'm not worried.
Yeah.
At all.
Two right guards.
Why should I be? They haven't given me a reason to. They're going to beat the brakes off this team, fellas.
They better
beat the brakes off of them.
They better.
A sudden beat down smacking Daryl.
I think you're right. But they better. If they don't.
It better not be like close, right?
No, it better not be close.
Like it's, the Calgary game was after the smoke delay.
That was an embarrassment for them.
This Edmonton team is nowhere near the caliber of the Calgary Stampeders was.
Going into that football
game.
But, you know, we underestimated the Stamps, that's for sure. I don't think we're going to underestimate the Elks. Nobody thinks they're very strong, and the Riders are going to have to show that the Elks aren't very strong.
As we continue here on the Green Zone pregame show, Logan Ferland talking about Noah Zaire getting in. And by the way, Zach Fry, it was a motor vehicle collision. That is why he is out. On walkthrough day, he was going through the reps, but when they amped up the physical practice on Wednesday, he started to feel like, okay, I'm not right. So, and he walked off the field. And I'm looking, he's got a black eye. This is before we knew it was a motor vehicle accident. I was like, he looks beat up. What the heck happened to Zach Fry?
A buddy of mine told me there was, this is secondhand, that there was an accident just outside Mosaic Stadium. The players had gotten together for a meeting and were leaving. And he had seen an accident with players involved. So I don't know if that's the one.
Yeah.
So I might be speculating a little bit, but it just seems pretty coincidental that, you know, not late at night or anything from what I understand, just a, something outside the stadium. Somebody ran through one of those stop signs there and they had a collision. So it's unfortunate. Boy, they found a lot of ways to lose players, haven't they?
Man.
Yeah. And they keep finding them.
They keep chopping them.
We're just saying, Zer was cut at training camp before training camp ended, right? Yep. So they didn't have any plans for him, and now they need him as a starter. So they just keep finding people to put in, and it's amazing what they've been able to do. And let's see if they can keep the role going. It helps, as you say, Belton, the job they did last week to let Trevor Harris throw deep. He's really good at throwing quickly too, though, so that helps.
Jamie Nye, Daryl Davis, Belton Johnson with you here on the Green Zone. Coming up next, it's time to find out tri-tip was the hint. We'll see what we got for tailgating tip with Sherwood Co-op and who's going to eat next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.